Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. It is Saturday, January 12th. This is America's Heroes Group, and I am the host of the program. Our web social media producer is Manny Corazzari. Executive producer is Glenda Smith. Roundtable panelist is attorney Ernesto Borges. Rochelle Crump, who, of course, is the founder and president of the National Women's Veterans United. Sean Claiborne is with us. Sure. And Dr. Arnold's not going to be with us today.
No, he's in a meeting.
He's in a meeting. Okay. America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by East Lake Management and Development Corporation, 2850 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60616. Office number is 312-842-5500. America's Heroes Group is also proudly sponsored by attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP at 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free number 888-837-3275. The office number is 312-781-1977. Well, there's a lot going on, of course, and one of the things we are certainly going to do is to talk about the situation of the government shutdown. We have an ABC news clip on that.
Mr. President, what do you say to those federal workers, security guards, Secret Service agents, TSA agents, who are now going without pay?
I think they have been terrific. These are terrific patriots. A lot of them agree with what I'm doing, and I hope we're going to have the situation worked out. They're all going to get the money, and I think they're going to be happy. And I will tell you, and I say it often, many of those people that you're talking about, so humanly the way you express it, but many of those people that you talk about are on my side. I've had so many people. The beautiful thing is with social media, the world can write to you. And you take a look at social media. So many of those people are saying, it's very hard for me, it's very hard for my family, but Mr. President, you're doing the right thing. Get it done. I've had so many of them. They're patriots. They love our country.
We have tremendous Republican support. I don't think the Democrats have great support because they all know we need border security. We need to have people stop being killed at a border.
That's some more Trump talking his crap, of course.
And we are experiencing a little audio difficulty,
yes,
so
we do
apologize.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. But as the partial government shutdown continues for a third week, veterans groups are sounding the alarm because of what they say is the disproportionate impact of America's veterans and a growing fear that financial uncertainty could lead them to self-harm. An estimated one-third of the federal workforce is made up of veterans, according to the Office of Personnel Management, meaning that more than 25,000 veterans are currently, 250,000 veterans, 250,000 veterans are not currently receiving paychecks. Anybody want to respond to that? You know,
Sean,
families
financially, please take it.
Yeah, it's a sad state. But one thing people don't realize is that there's a lot of even branches of the service that are not being funded right now. The Coast Guard, for example, the Coast Guard falls under the Department of Homeland Security, like the TSA and other parts of the government. They're not getting paid right now. So a Coast Guard is working but not getting paid. You also have about 23,000 families that are in the military right now that are on food stamps. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that military pay is particularly for people that are enlisted, people that are, you know, that are privates, corporals, things like that, sergeants. They don't make a lot of money, so they're on food stamps. And their benefits are also being affected as well. So if they have service members that are in the Coast Guard or work for government jobs, like some of these 250,000 members of the government that are not getting paid, now you put them in a much harder situation, and it's harder to make ends meet.
Yeah, they are situations, of course, Ernesto, where you've got people who are laid off. They're not making anything. But you've also got people who are working.
Yes.
But they're not making anything either.
Well, you know, yeah. I was in federal court this past week, and I was talking to one of the U.S. trustees. And she was saying that, you know, everybody got paid on December 31st. They got a paycheck.
Right. Yeah.
She said, now this is when it's going to really get critical because this is the first paycheck that they're missing.
They're missing, right.
Yeah. They've gone, you know, these last 10, 12 days, you know, expecting a paycheck. But now it's really real. It's hitting them. And some are on furlough, you know, the guaranteed to get some going to be paid later. But some are not. It's still up in the air as to whether they're going to get paid for these days that they've missed. It's not guaranteed.
The point is, everybody's not laid off. There are certain people
that have to work regardless.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even though they're not being paid,
you know, air traffic controllers, TSA, so forth.
Sure. Coast Guard,
But it's really going to hit when they didn't get their paychecks yesterday.
Yeah.
Now it's going to get
Rochelle.
Serious.
I'm sure that a lot of women who, of course, make up a big part of the federal workforce.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them are suffering even more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think about those women who are single, who have children, who basically that's the only paycheck that they have. And it's just really unconscionable that someone, especially our commander in chief, would use this as a result to get something that he wants personal. This is a personal thing. This has nothing at all to do with safety and that border of security. You know, I don't believe it because I believe that a person of that magnitude in that position would make that the very last option. In fact, it wouldn't even be on the table.
Well, now, when you mentioned the fact that it's not a dangerous situation, I thought it was very interesting. He went to a border town. And the gentleman he was talking to said, oh, we're very safe. We don't have any problems at all.
Right. But you know what else is so heinous about this is that most of the government officials, legislature and Trump, are getting their paychecks.
Yeah.
You know, they're accepting their paychecks.
I tell you what else surprised me, too, is when Friday, when the U.S. Senate adjourned, only to be called back at 3 o'clock Monday. Mm-hmm. You know, they adjourned till 3 o'clock on Monday.
They should be working over the weekend.
That's right.
The thing that's most despicable about this whole situation, as Rochelle mentioned,
and they went on with their paychecks.
This is a completely manufactured crisis. Mm-hmm. There is no border crisis. If you look at the statistics, you know, from 2000, the year 2000, border apprehensions have decreased 76% from 2000 to 2018. A 76% drop in border apprehensions, okay? So you think about this. In 1985, there was 1.6 million people apprehended by the Border Patrol. In the year 2018, you barely hit 400,000. So how is this a crisis all of a sudden?
When the numbers are going down.
The numbers are going down dramatically.
But what I find shocking is that President Trump made mention that people for the most part, are supporting him when social media says differently.
Well, he says a lot of people. That's how he uses it. Yeah. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Democrats, well, Republicans.
A lot doesn't mean the majority of people. Absolutely. Or even a significant number. He's just saying a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. And they're asking him to please reconsider. So,
one thing he should be reminded of when he talks those numbers, he didn't get the majority of the vote when he became president.
That's exactly. For sure.
Yeah. Exactly. And his own party is not supporting all of this.
Not at all.
That's right.
Not at all. So.
Well, except for Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham has told him he should use, his executive power.
But they're not affected by it.
Well,
that's got to end up in court, too, as you know.
And I also, I think, though, a lot of times, too, the reason why I think they just want this whole situation to go away. So I think they're telling him, just get this thing get it done. Do an executive order. Do whatever. Just open the government.
Yeah, because it's going to come back to bite them.
Exactly.
Because he owned it. He said, if I close it down, I own it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's no way they can get out of this, period.
And my appeal is to Democrats also. Democrats, you know how to manipulate this guy. Just stroke his ego. He's an egocentric person. So all you got to do, world leaders don't figure this out. If you stroke his ego, give him a photo opportunity, he's cool.
No, but I think, I think it's kind of gotten into his psyche that he needs, you think of the China Wall, which is 1,500 miles long. You think of the Berlin Wall, the Hadrian's Wall. He wants a wall
like that.
In his name. He wants this monument.
It's like a
pyramid or something.
He would love
the Pharaoh wants, he wants his wall.
He would love the Chinese Wall. That's the only thing you can see from the moon.
That's right.
And
from
I've been
space.
On the Chinese Wall, and I tell you, you can drive.
It's the only man-made structure.
You see it, yes.
Right. Only man-made 1,500 miles. That's a long wall. I mean, that's like
you can't build that here. That cannot be built here.
Yeah,
but we all agree there should be some border control. Everybody's on the same page with that. It's how they're doing it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that's what
But who's going to blink first?
I don't know.
We'll see.
But at what expense? At what expense? You have women that can't feed their children.
That's right.
So this is detrimental.
Sure it is.
Well, it'll be interesting
it's serious.
The report's coming out talking about he's a Russian agent.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's unbelievable.
And the beast goes on.
Yeah, that's right.
I just hope he doesn't go out and start throwing paper towels at them again, to the workers who aren't getting paid.
Yeah.
Please don't do it.
Right. Okay, another CNN clip, retired General Stanley McChrystal and what he said. He says, I think Trump is immoral and dishonest. Listen up.
Tomorrow is the last day on the job for Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. It is likely the end of a military career that began 50 years ago, and a departure that frankly worries a lot of people who see Secretary Mattis as a stabilizing force in the Trump administration. One of those is retired four-star Army General Stanley McChrystal.
If we have someone who is as selfless and as committed as Jim Mattis resigns his position, walking away from all the responsibility he feels for every service member in our forces, and he does so in a public way like that, we ought to stop and say, okay, why did he do it? We ought to ask what kind of commander-in-chief he had that Jim Mattis, the good Marine, felt he had to walk away.
If you were asked to join the Trump administration, what would you say?
I'd say no. I think it's important for me to work for people who I think are basically honest, who tell the truth as best they know it.
You think he's a liar?
I don't think he tells the truth.
Is Trump immoral in your view?
I think he is.
So, Sam, when you hear that from someone like Stanley McChrystal, who we should point out probably is not going to be the next defense secretary based on that interview, I mean, what kind of impact do statements like that have?
Well, Ryan, criticizing the president is nothing new. It comes with the territory. But this is a brave new world. We have an unprecedented number of nonpartisan public servants expressing concern over the president's policies, and we have a president who can't just let it go. He responds to this criticism almost as easily as he responds to flattery. He is consistently distracted. But his policies aren't just having an impact on American commentary. They're directly impacting the federal workforce. We've had senior officials resign in protest over his policies, and replacing them is going to be increasingly difficult every day that goes by that he lashes out at another American or makes another impetuous decision. At the same time, the financial incentives for going into the U.S. government and staying are diminishing by the day. Many of us didn't join the U.S. government for large paychecks, but we need to be able to pay our bills. A quarter of the federal workforce isn't being paid as we speak. because of the shutdown. And even if that is ameliorated, President Trump has announced that he's freezing federal wages in 2019. While he lauds private sector wage growth, he's saying that federal workers don't deserve the same kind of benefits. Retention and recruitment of talent in 2019 is going to be very difficult.
What's the comment on that? Four-star general. Retired four-star general. Trump is immoral and dishonest.
Well, you know, the concern is that he had all of these generals working for him, mm-hmm. and now they're all gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Flynn, of course, left in disgrace.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're gone, and that's troublesome that he doesn't have, he doesn't have
expertise.
Any military around him to give
with
him
integrity.
Advice. With integrity.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. He just wants to surround himself with yes men.
Yeah.
And now, we should have mentioned before that he's going to talking about using the Army Corps of Engineers to build that wall.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Right.
So
exactly.
He's meeting with them right now, but it's sad.
They tried to trust him at first, initially.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and they tried to work with him through all of that, but then they realized that their own integrity was on the line
mm-hmm.
with
sure.
the, you know, methods that he was trying to implement on everyone else. And that was a good reason to pull
mm-hmm.
back, because when
mm-hmm.
you build something for yourself, and you don't want to get caught up in things that pretty much are going to come back at you at a later time, they had no other choice than to walk away.
Right. And it says a lot for in general. I mean, these are people that have sacrificed their entire lives and their entire being to serve the country.
Yeah. And they're not willing to risk their career for
And these guys are backing away from really duty.
Yeah.
They're saying, no, this is not honorable. When a general says, I'm not taking this post, I'm not taking this command, he's saying that this is not a worthy command.
That's right.
And this is not in the country's best interest. So I can't do anything in this situation that make it any better. Therefore, I'm taking myself out of the situation because if I stay in it, I'm putting the country at risk.
That's right.
Well, it's got to be very interesting, of course. Thank goodness with the Democrats taking the House now, there's going to be all kinds of investigations.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. I'm surprised they haven't come up already. Some people are talking about impeachment. I don't see that, but I sure want to see his tax returns, which he's going to have to come up with now.
Yeah.
And there'll be a number of other investigations coming out. And then I think it's very interesting, too, that the man who said, I'd take a bullet for him, is not going to be testifying.
It's going to be prime time.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, that will be everybody in the country.
Yeah.
Be like the last episode of The Fugitive or something.
You know what Trump is thinking? He's thinking, I'd like him to take a bullet now.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. Before that testimony. Unfortunate situation. We have a situation where a Southside native and one of the last surviving Tuskegee Airmen just passed away at the age of 98. John Jack Lyle was a decorated war hero who served in World War II with the Tuskegee Airmen and was awarded a Congressional Gold Medal in 2007. He was a fighter pilot, a sailor, a child musician, an entrepreneur, and an amateur inventor. But his last dying wish was simple, to sit along the dock at Jackson Park Harbor Yacht Club and watch the waves of Lake Michigan wash by. That's what his wife said. Isn't that something? In his better days, Jackson Park Harbor is where he spent a lot of his time. His wife, Eunice Jackson Lyle, said it was just like a natural home to him. Lyle, 98, died Saturday of complications related to prostate cancer just days before he was supposed to travel to the lakefront with help from a nursing and a palliative care team. Affectionately known as I said, Captain Jack, he was among the last survivors of the Tuskegee Airmen, the trailblazing group of African Americans who integrated aviation in the military in World War II.
Salute.
They were just great guys, weren't they?
Captain Jack.
Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sitting on the dock of the bay. Huh?
That's right. That's what I thought of. That's what I thought of. That's a great song. But when you hear about these guys and you know, of course, what they did.
And their sacrifices. I mean, sacrifices that they made.
Mm-hmm. And they were very resourceful people as well. During that time, for what they were dealing with, they were resourceful in making a way for themselves.
And determined.
Absolutely.
They were determined to make it possible so that others could come that way.
Mm-hmm. And I think the amazing part about it is that I think I might have actually met him when I went to a facility out in the South Suburbs. If mm-hmm. this is the same gentleman, I met one of the Castigi Airmen, might have been the same gentleman. Mm-hmm. You would never know. You see veterans every single day.
Yeah.
And you shake their hands. There are people greeting you. There are people serving you. They're doing different things for you every single day. And we don't see the veterans. You don't see that history behind there. And when you meet these people, they have incredible stories, yeah. but they're just everyday mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. that made a decision to serve the country.
Yeah.
Silent heroes in the community.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, it was so interesting because they had to run into all of that racism, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then those are white bomber pilots, many of them right. in the South, I know what they were calling them. We said, but we want them to cover us.
Right. Right. That's
we
never missed.
We want the red tails. Yeah,
they got that movie, the movie with the white guy, where they were in the South, and he was saying that he stood up for the black guy, and he said, these are the guys who protected us
exactly.
when we were
exactly. In the officers' club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They were, but a lot of the southern white pilots who were, stood up for some of the black guys.
Yeah, in the movie.
Yeah after the war, yeah.
But wasn't the name of the movie was Tuskegee Airmen?
No, there was another movie. It wasn't Red Tails. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It was an Academy Award winning picture. Mm. I'll think of it in a minute, but it was a great movie.
They did a fantastic job, though.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And we don't have time to talk about it, but we've got a situation with one of our Marine groups, which we'll have to talk about at a later date, that mm-hmm. they're having a problem.
And we're going to do whatever we can to help save their facility.
Right. Yeah, right.
Because they were the first men drafted in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they too have made a sacrifice.
Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. We'll be back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
America, sweet.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, veteran and host of America's Heroes Group. East Lake Management staff proudly extends our best wishes to our veterans, armed forces, and their family members during this holiday season. We honor their relentless courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans and appreciate their strength and commitment they bring to East Lake Organization. East Lake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Happy holidays from East Lake.
I'm Sally, a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs. Excuse me. Hi. What do you think this place needs?
I'd like to see more parking.
More playgrounds.
Free movies.
That's easy. Better restaurants.
And you, what do you think this place needs?
This place? More ice cream trucks.
Okay. how about you?
Wi-Fi everywhere?
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
Oh, that's way better.
Now that you mention it.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org. Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation. 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group, continuing engaging, empowering, connecting, and transforming veterans by being the hub to veterans affairs, information, resources, and referrals. And, of course, as usual, we have our wonderful roundtable here, and we also have a guest, which I will introduce in just a second. But I want to remind you, you can call us 773-591-1690, 773-591-1690. We are joined now in our studio with Mr. John Stechu. Mr. Stechu is a military veteran, and he is doing a great job. He's going to tell us what he does and how he is helping veterans. And first, we want to welcome him here. And how are you, sir?
I'm very well. Great, thank you.
Great, and thank you so much for coming.
Well, it's a pleasure, and it's an honor to have been invited. Thank
Great.
You.
He's the interim superintendent of Veterans Assistance Commission of Cook County, Veterans Helping Veterans. Before we get into what you're doing, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well,
the military background.
Right. Mm-hmm. In the military, I was in the Army in 1967 and 1968, mm-hmm. and I wound up being a drill sergeant in basic training. So, you know, I had one of those Smokey Bear hats.
Yeah. Proud Grizzly Bear.
Right. And pushing troops around for a couple of years. And that was during the big, you know, the buildup during the Vietnam War. So even though I was a kid myself, you know, you had to take the job seriously because you know that where all these people were going to be going.
Oh, absolutely. So, and you were where?
Fort Ord, California.
Okay.
Yeah, I took my basic at Fort Campbell, and then
were you in the airborne?
I was infantry.
Okay. Campbell. Yeah, okay.
But, Campbell was the 101st.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, I got stationed at Fort Ord infantry, for infantry training, and then that's where they asked me if I'd be interested in, signing up for this drill sergeant program that was just starting at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we were a little bit like pioneers of,
gotcha.
That whole thing because the whole program was only in place for a couple, 2-3 years. So it was, quite an experience. I mean, you know, I learned a lot from it.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot from it. I grew up real fast and just learned a lot. So...
Did you end up shipping out? Or did I not.
Oh, okay. Because when...
They needed to keep you trained.
Right.
Yeah, they have to keep... Yeah.
And then when my term was up, I mean, obviously they were trying to get you to stay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me just say a few things because I was... of course, I had basic training at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. But when I came back from Vietnam, I joined a unit in Fort Dix, New Jersey. And I pushed troops for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and some of the guys went to drill sergeant school, and I mean drill sergeant school was no joke.
Either. No,
oh
I
yeah,
mean, it was no joke. And then you had to lead the troops, and you got your Smokey Bear hat. Mm-hmm. But the regular platoon, I was just a platoon sergeant, but I had to. So my drill sergeant would have me walk them to the rifle range in the morning and take put them to bed at night. But being a drill sergeant is something important. You know, that transition of taking that civilian mind and turning it into a military mind while they're in basic training, and it's a
especially
cycle after cycle for a sergeant. It's extraordinary,
especially during a wartime scenario.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
You know, it was you were young, but you had to take the job seriously. I mean, you couldn't.
No.
You know, some people looked at it as, well, you were a drill sergeant, so you didn't have to go to NAM. That wasn't the that wasn't the point.
Yeah,
you know, it was just
right.
that you know that a lot of these guys were gone, and boy, whatever you did,
you had to prepare them. Yeah,
you had to prepare them the best you can.
You mentioned that there was a change like before in the drill sergeant, the way drill sergeants were preparing recruits. What changed between that in that time frame?
What happened was the Army adopted the Marine Corps program of DIs, drill instructors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they studied how they do it, mm-hmm. and that's what they came the program that the Army came up with, which was, you know, you come in for that first eight weeks, and everybody learns how to be an infantryman. You know, everybody mm-hmm. learns how to mm-hmm. handle a weapon, how to, you know, orders, all of that. Everybody.
Sure.
Prior to that, it wasn't necessarily always like that. Sometimes units would get together. Some of the people that were in charge of those units would train them, and then they'd be going off together. But this was, you know, everybody came in, and then they were assigned, you know, to different military
AIT.
AIT. Yeah. The MOS is different.
Yeah,
MOS.
Second, yeah. Second, yeah. 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 Second eight. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that was right there, and they started that program. Like I said, I didn't even realize it at the time. Just about 2-3 years before I became, you know, a drill sergeant, and you know, and there weren't a whole lot of people because everybody was being drafted. There was so many people being drafted and joining at the time that when I got out of drill sergeant school, I was a platoon sergeant. You know, I had an assistant, and that was it. Mm-hmm. When I was in basic, and before that, you know, we had 3 drill sergeants per platoon. Mm-hmm. You know, and this time, you know, we're down to 1, and you know,
that's a lot of work.
You know, 24/7.
People don't realize because I went in the Army 50 years ago this month at Fort Underwood, and I couldn't have had a tougher drill sergeant. This guy was a maniac. And I mean, some people talk about Marine, but
no.
Army was no joke.
No,
Army,
and the fact that he was a maniac.
Oh, this guy was here with us today.
But that's such a guy's honest heart.
There's nobody tougher I've ever seen in my life in military than my drill sergeant in basic training.
Well, tell us, sir. You're the interim superintendent of Veterans Assistance Commission of Cook County. Tell us about that.
Well, the Veterans Assistance Commission is programs that was set up through Illinois statutes. Each county in the state, you know, has the right to set up a VAC, a Veterans Assistance mm-hmm. Commission. And I think presently there are 41 counties that have a VAC in this state. Some of them, have larger areas, you know, when you get to southern Illinois. Cook County is the largest. I mean, as far as, you know, the number of veterans that we, you know, we try to service.
Sure.
You know, we're definitely the largest. And you know, I would
because we have 102 counties in Illinois.
Yeah,
102.
Right,
counties,
right. Mm-hmm. And what you said, but only 41 of the, you know, because
right.
a lot of them in the south. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the areas.
Some of those counties have about 10 people. In
right.
Exactly. That's right.
And we have, you know, probably close to 270,000 veterans in Cook County. Which, you know, which is it's a staggering number when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're tasked with, our mission is to help, you know, a veteran when he or she runs across, a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could be indigent to begin with. They can be homeless to begin with. They can be doing well and then all of a sudden lose a job mm-hmm. or have some kind of a tragedy befall them or the family. They can come to us, and we'll try to give them a little bit of a helping hand.
That's
we can
great.
Only do it one time, but we give them a helping hand. They come in. You know, we can help them pay their rent. You know,
mm-hmm.
if they're getting close to being evicted, we can help them pay their electric and gas bills or water bills if they're being threatened, with shut-offs.
Yeah.
We can help them with food,
mm-hmm.
and we can help them with transportation.
Mm-hmm.
We purchase a lot of the CTA one-day passes, you know, seven-day passes, the mm-hmm. PACE cards also, and, you know, we can hand those out. You know, so they come in, you know, they need to be honorably discharged veterans. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing, honorably discharged. There are certain guidelines. There's certain documentation or paperwork that they need to bring in, DD-214s, things mm-hmm. like that.
Sure.
But once they have all that in place, you know, we interview them, and we try to help them that same day. It's not like, oh, you know, we'll get back to you in a week or two or three. We'll sit there. If everything pans out, we'll write them a check that day.
Well, that's great.
And they're on their way.
Now, John, do they have to show that they have a certain economic difficulty?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I had to ask you that because just yesterday I got my gas bill.
Yeah, but you don't. But only honorable, not medical, not bad conduct,
well, you
nothing.
Sometimes.
Because you have different levels.
Yeah,
of,
sometimes under honorable, if it was for medical reasons, you know, we'll look at it. I mean, you know, if we're going to make a mistake, we're going to try to make a mistake on the side of the vet.
Right.
You know, we're not, you know, hardcore and trying to get the heck out of here. You know, we're trying to help.
Right.
And, but, you know, primarily, you know, honorably discharged. Mm-hmm. They have to have been in service for a certain amount of time, 6 months of active duty, or recently we just put in reserve units, you know, because for the longest time they didn't, if you were in the reserves, they didn't count that unless
What about
you were
National
active.
Guard?
Well, or National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
But if they serve 6 years, you know, honorably, you know, where
they made the meetings
and the 2 weeks of training and stuff like that, we look at it and we look at it favorably.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
good.
And say, we'll do that.
Let's take a caller. We're pleased to have Lee is on with it. Hi, Lee. You're on WVON.
How are you doing? How are you doing, Cliff? You and your guest.
Uh-huh.
What I wanted to ask the question is, how is it that the president and some people in Congress, they can get their checks, but the poor people that's working it from paycheck to paycheck, they don't get their checks? And not only that, the food stamp program. Don't your man know that if you stop having the people, because there's a lot of people have food stamps, and they go to these stores and they buy food, okay? And if they, if you don't buy, if you don't have your food stamps, you won't be back. So the economy is going to be, it's already going down. It's going to go down even further without the help of those food stamps. That man is trying to starve people, starve babies, and he's trying to kill people. Something is wrong with him, truly.
Well, I agree with that. Thank you, Lee. My understanding, and you may know more about this, but my understanding is that the food stamp program, Rochelle, is still going through.
It's going through,
yeah.
But the said that it may stop
soon if they don't continue.
So that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're basically one of those entities that are under the umbrella of the government.
But we can certainly, what Lee is asking also, John, your organization may have to help some of these people, right?
If that's possible, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, I mean, for this year, we're set. We already, you know, got our allotment, you know, for the year from the county. So, you know, we're not going to have any.
But what happens? He says 41 counties. Yeah. What about the other counties?
There's
another 61 counties
that don't have a VAC.
You said you, that don't have.
You said there are 41 counties with it.
There's another.
But do you have to be in the county to get the help?
Yes,
you do have to be. Okay.
So somebody from DuPage can't come here.
I got you.
I see.
So
who funds this? Each county or
the county funds
the county,
it? Yes.
Each county funds it. Okay.
So what you're asking is, if you're in the wrong county,
you're
SOL. You know what that means,
right? Yeah.
And one good thing about the program, even though he said it's one time. It's a one-time for each one of those instances.
Right.
So it's not like if you come and get assistance for your rent that you can't come back for your lights. So each one of those entities are one-time. And that makes it good, for a person that had an incident on this one. Then later on, you know, this happened. So that's a good thing.
And so, John, tell us how much business does your I imagine your office does quite a bit.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Right.
We can see on average from a dozen to 30 people a day.
Wow.
And how big is your office? How many people you have staffed in your office?
Four.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Three full-time, myself, plus a part-timer.
Wow.
And tell us how people would reach you.
Well, they can either stop by, you know, to the office because we're open every day except Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We're there on Wednesday, but we need that day for get caught up on paperwork and what have you. But we see veterans on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Our address is 1100 South Hamilton in Chicago, 60612. Mm-hmm. And we're in the Juvenile Detention Center.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Our offices are on the lower level, on the lower concourse.
Mm-hmm.
And but we're right there by Jesse Brown.
Sure.
Next to it is the VA Benefits Office.
Right.
And then we're just down the street.
Yeah.
So It works out pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Number for them? We have a phone number for your office?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's 312-433-6010. And if they call and nobody answers because we're running around with, you know, with veterans, then, you know, we will get back to them that same day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we make every effort to call back and, you know, try to do whatever we can.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Yes.
And address again, 1100 South Hamilton. And the phone number is 312-433-6010.
Yes, sir.
That's great. That's great.
And also there are burial benefits, too, that they pay.
Oh, great.
So there are just a few more things that, you know, they can expect.
Burial?
And then, yes, on the burial as well.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
You know, I had mentioned transportation. The way
Yeah,
the way the transportation works is if, you know, they may be working with a social worker at Jesse Brown or at Hines, wherever it may be. And they may have a need for coming into the medical facility on a regular basis because they're getting a certain kind of a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So the social worker will give them a referral. We'll get, you know, they fax to us. He or she will come over, and, you know, we'll give them a one-day or two-day pass or a seven-day pass, and we can do that for them for up to 30 weeks, depending on, on the program. So it's, you know, or if they're going to school, we can help them with that, you know. Or job searches or, you know, starting a job and things like that. So we can – and that's ongoing for up to 30 weeks.
That's for transportation to
– Right.
To if you go into school or you
– Right.
Yeah, okay.
Or you need to get back to the hospital, on a regular basis, you know, so, you know, we can help with that.
And we also still cover the uniforms if they start a new job and they need uniforms, boots, clothing like that. We still also offer that assistance.
I think, is it disabled veterans, do they get some special pass for transportation? I heard they had.
That's if they're disabled, they can get the car.
If you have a, if you're declared a, you know, 50% disabled, service disabled vet, I think they have some kind of CTA.
In the city of Chicago, if you're rated 10% or more, they'll give you a pass.
Okay. You get a pass that you can use anytime, all the time?
Yeah. So a lot of times when people come in and we know that they're going to be needing it all the time, we certainly mention that to them also.
So they can just get permanent, right.
If they're old enough, they can get seniors right free from the state.
Okay. Right. Right.
So, you know, we try to steer them in whatever direction we can.
Right. Sure. And then you also have InterVoice that's still coming to the office.
Yes, once a week.
Do the assistance for employment as well.
Right.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, we have a number of outside sources that will come in, you know, on a regular basis and sit for half a day or a day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if some of the veterans need something more than what we can do, we'll send them to them and see if they can help them out. Trying to, you know, any way we can. We can't do everything, obviously.
Yeah, but you do a lot. That's
whatever
great.
We can, you know, we do.
That's great. I'm sure there are things that you're doing we are asking you about, John. Is there something else we need to know? And by the way, let me mention again, 773-591-1690 is our number if you'd like to ask him a question. Is there something else that we need to know that we're not asking you about? You sound like you do a whole lot of things.
Well, we do a whole lot of things. You know, if we can get the word out to more people, you know, because a lot of times people come in and say, gee, I didn't know this was here.
You guys have a website?
No. Okay. It's something we're going to be working on. And, you know, hopefully I'm going to try to get in conjunction with the county, you know, to have that. And then, you know, we'll do, you know, try to have a website set up that way.
All right.
But that's, you know, one of the things, you know, there's still a lot of things that we need to do.
It's right. But also, I see here you're with the American Legion.
Yes, sir.
And so you are the elected post commander for 5 years. And what about the American Legion? Do they offer?
Oh, they have a lot of things, programs. They have a lot of programs. I mean, it's,
Since you're here, you're a wealth of information for us for American Legion also,
and I think
so
I can
people
also
can join.
Offer
that.
This is that one thing you need to know is that this is not the county; it is the Veterans Assistance Commission. Even though we're funded by Cook County,
I see.
It is a not-for-profit entity. which actually
so it's not a governmental.
No,
correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
We have to report our financials to the county, so you know they can see what we're doing with the money that they give us. But that's the extent of it.
I see.
They don't have anything to do with our hiring, firing, who we take in, how we process people. They've got nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's another side of that where veterans organizations are invited to come to that part of the county to be a part of it. If they have an organization like the VFW, American Legion, those who are serving veterans in the community, they're welcome to come to the table and be a part of that. There's a membership fee. It's a very small fee, $20. And then they have an alternate and a delegate, basically, that comes to the meetings. And also they have voting rights on, you know, things that are pertaining to what we do in the office, even though we have a standard policy of the things that we do offer for our veterans. But there are other things that we do as well from the outside. We have an annual event called the Corned Beef and Cabbage, and that actually is something that's on the
sounds Irish to me.
Everybody's Irish
on that day, that's for sure.
The corned beef and cabbage, that's funny.
Everybody think
and I think
lassie.
One time
they
threw in chicken.
Yeah, they always throw in some chicken.
Was that Martin Luther King Day? What, I don't know.
Actually, it's on St. Patrick's Day.
Is it St. Patrick's Day, too? But what happens, I mean, I'm concerned about veterans, and you know, this show goes out throughout the world, but what happens to the other veterans in this state? In other counties, I mean, is it just that the county boards in those counties don't fund it? Is that
they don't have the need.
They don't have the need
because of the population, or they may not have as large a veteran population, or just population in general.
Sure,
you know, they're a little bit more rural areas, so they're taken up by other people. Now, you know, you're mentioning about something that we do that a lot of other people don't do. That's our primary objective, is to help, you know, with these bills. Mm-hmm. A lot of the other outlying, you know, the DuPage and DeKalb counties and all the other ones, they do a lot of veteran service work. People come in and they help them fill out paperwork for benefits.
I see.
They do that kind of, you know, don't do that because we have, you know, the regional office right across the street.
Sure.
And our demographic is different. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot more, you know, indigent. We have a lot more people that, you know, need help, that genuinely need help. Whereas, you know, some of the other suburbs, outlying counties, actually, they're a little bit more well-to-do.
Right, sure.
You know, I remember talking to one gentleman one time, and he goes, "Wow, you know, last year we had three homeless people in our county." Honestly,
well, that's what Ernesto mentioned.
I think I see some out the window. Yeah, I think I see more.
When you mention other counties, I say, some of these counties have 10 people in them.
Right. Well, and this is a bigger county.
About 500 horses. You know?
Right, there you go.
Just corn. Ears of corn and soybean. That's about it.
I just added it, so good luck with
that. They would do that. And, you know, these counties do certain things. For instance, our county recorder of deeds, she's got a program relative to for veterans. And so
There's no one program, you know, that can handle everything.
Yeah, it's a matter that so many people don't know about them.
Right.
That's why.
But if you know
this
about
is why
all
we
them,
do what we do here, try to make
which
sure.
I think is wonderful.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he sends a staff member out to those fairs as well. You know, when they have a fair,
your group,
they go out.
Yeah.
To the affairs or fairs?
The fairs.
Fairs, like county fairs?
You know, like if they have, if the American Legion is having a fair for employment.
I see.
Rochelle is the head of the National Women's Veterans United. Ernesto, we don't talk about affairs.
Not with this Me Too movement. No.
That's right.
This has been great. Thank you so much, John. Great, good information. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We'll be talking to you again.
Michelle, front and center, as you always say.
Regarding any information about affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. Thank you so much for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook like button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you stay connected. You will receive future notifications about shows, events, information, and resources regarding our veterans, armed forces, family members, and community. We are so grateful to our partner, Ms. Dorothy Lavelle. You can read Chicago Crusaders articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to Chicago Crusaders weekly column, Voices with Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, call the Chicago Crusader at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com and request a subscription. Well, group, another Saturday is had.
Great, great. A lot of great information. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wishing you all a very, very blessed weekend.
And let's hope the government shutdown is over by next week.
Absolutely.
We certainly. And if they're not, then NWVU is going to start putting out for women veterans to come to us.
Great.
And we're going to assist them.
That'll be great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're just kind of waiting to see where it was going before we do so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure most of us, certainly didn't think it would last this long.
Yeah. The longest in
history.
And,
of course, now this is a history, as the longest. We also want to thank Isaac Taylor, our technical producer.
Yes, Isaac. Woo! Great job, always. To all, have a safe and blessed weekend, and stay out this snow if you can.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody. Thanks
America's Heroes Group.
Thank you.